The Trump administration may be ready to name a new candidate to head the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Politico reports the leading candidate appears to be Robert Redfield, an HIV/AIDS expert at the University of Maryland Medical Center. Redfield would replace former CDC Director Brenda Fitzgerald. She resigned earlier this year after it was discovered she had traded in tobacco stocks while running the CDC. Redfield co-founded the Institute of Human Virology at the University of Maryland. He also served on President George W. Bush's Advisory Council on HIV/AIDS. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
Sunday talk show lineup, NBC's Meet the Press has GOP Representative Mike Conaway of Texas on the schedule. CBS's Face the Nation, Republican Senators Bob Corker of Tennessee and Rand Paul of Kentucky, along with South Korean Foreign Minister Kang Kyung-hwa. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive. Well, hello once again. It's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
We are analog living in a digital world. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, tech news you can use. Oh, man.
At least we hope you can use.
Well, case in point, as we were gearing, we're recording on Friday because we got a busy weekend and we wanted to get the show in the can so that we could go on about our business. And it's fortunate that we did, because I would not have seen this note that was in my box. A listener called in and she didn't remember. She said, the husband and wife who have the weekend tech show.
Yeah, well, that's close enough.
That would be us. Bob and Brenda. And she wanted to know if we had a computer store. Good Lord, no. We don't go there. We just talk about this. We talk about the bomb. We don't drop it. But anyway, this poor lady, Gail, she wound up on a web page that started throwing some pop-ups that something was terribly wrong with her computer, and she needed to call, as I gather the story, tech support at Microsoft. Bum, bum, bum.
If I had a cowbell, I'd ring it.
Yeah.
That's a red flag right there.
So she actually was on the phone with this very pushy lady, the people, the scammers. Listen carefully. These are scammers. Microsoft will not phone you up, and they will not send you a phone call for tech support because the tech support people at Microsoft are really, really busy.
Or send you
the legitimate ones.
Send you a request, yeah. Which is essentially what that was. So anytime you see those pop-up windows that say, cha-ching, you have a problem with your computer, run away in the opposite direction as far as you can.
If it comes up on a browser, your best bet, that, and you can't, and you hit the X and nothing happens, the easiest solution is to simply reach out and hold down the power button on your computer.
Hold it down.
Yeah, hold it down until the computer forces itself to shut off. Now, this is a little rough on the computer, but if you are lucky, what you have done is flushed out the browser cache when the computer has shut down and no changes have been made to your hard drive yet. Then when you reboot your computer, if you're on Windows 7, actually it'll come back with a message that you did not shut down properly. What do you want to do now? If you get that screen, and you don't get that on Windows 10, unfortunately,
But if you get that screen, say you're on Windows 7, or God forbid XP, what are you? Are you crazy? Get off of XP. Go into what's called safe mode. Now, our friend Charlie, who we're going to be shopping, we're going to talk about this. We shopped a new computer for our friend Charlie, and we found it what we thought would be a pretty good fit for him based on his needs. Because when people say, what computer do I need? We immediately ask, what are you going to do with it? So we'll talk about that story, too. But in this case, what you should do is if you get one of these weird pop-ups and you're on a web page, is immediately just shut down your computer manually by holding down the power button for about 10 seconds and all the power drops.
Right. And that's going to disconnect the computer
from the internet.
Right, from the internet, from any opportunity for it to load anything or be otherwise
right.
compromised.
Then when you reboot, if you have the option, go into what's called safe mode. And what safe mode does is load an absolute minimum set of drivers to ensure that your hard drive is okay, your keyboard is okay, your BIOS, the basic input-output system, and your CPU and everything is working correctly. And it also sort of causes a sort of a reset in the memory. And then if you reboot the computer to start normally, Windows has a feature that if something goes wrong and the computer shuts down or crashes, it will go back to the last settings it had a successful shutdown with. So it keeps a couple of versions of the operating system in its memory, all the settings that are in your registry. And if you have a problem and force a shutdown, it'll go back to the last settings that worked correctly. And so when you get these weird pop-ups, and, you know, even if it's legit, it's not going to hurt you any further. If something has gone horribly wrong with your computer, it's not going to hurt you to force a shutdown and try that first. And then if you say, I recommend that people have at least two different browsers on their computer. You should, if you know, don't just use Edge, which I don't particularly care for, even though Microsoft shoves it down your throat.
And I had to use it the other day.
There are
some things you just have to use that for.
GoToMeeting does not play well with Google Chrome.
You can see everything. You just can't hear anything.
Yeah. So let's say you're on your Google Chrome and you get this weird pop-up. Shut down your computer. And then when you come back, bring up Edge, or if you're really adventuresome, Opera or Firefox.
Right.
One of the popular browsers, bring that up and see if you get the same thing. And another thing that you can do is, and you can even do this on a Windows 10 computer, bring up your task manager. Do the three-finger salute, which you may have to do a couple of times.
Control-Alt-Delete.
Control-Alt-Delete.
All at the same time.
Right. Bring up your and you'll get a screen that lets you pick task manager and take a look at the computer's status, and you'll get a couple of graphs, and if you're seeing a lot of hard drive activity and your CPU window, which is like a little speed graph, is just, you know, flatlined out, you've probably got a problem.
Yeah, and don't do that right away after you start the computer, because it is doing a lot of things
when it's booting up, but it's loading a lot.
So wait until it's all booted up and everything's going on, and you can usually see a symbol on your computer, it looks like a little cylinder and it flashes, or there's a light that flashes near a symbol.
Right, your hard drive activity.
Right, the hard drive activity. So when you first boot up, let that go for a while, and then updates do the same thing.
Yeah.
That are legitimate updates.
And Windows 10 updates are...
Whenever.
Yeah.
You don't know they're there. That's very annoying. Sometimes I don't have my laptop on for a week. And then I go turn it on, and inevitably there's some kind of an update that goes on. So I've learned to just turn it on, walk away for a while, and then come back. But when everything being normal or typical, then if you waited a little while and your disk is still furiously working away, there may be a problem.
Yeah. Now, in Gail's case, something started ringing red flags because this woman who was allegedly from Microsoft was being real pushy.
Yep. That is their MO. That is how they operate, is they are quite pushy.
And Gail, don't feel alone, because 2 years ago, my mother fell for the same thing. In fact, we used her as an example on the show.
So what happened to our friend Gail?
She actually put the company, the scam company, and God knows, she was probably talking to somebody in Russia, put them on hold, and they called their, I think it was their son,
mm-hmm.
who said, unplug the computer now.
Yeah, definitely.
Basically, you know, if you got a network cable in the back or if you're on your wireless,
Turn the wireless off.
If you know where your router is, unplug that.
Or shut the computer off.
Yeah, or shut the computer off, yeah. You have ultimate control over that thing. Even if you got to pop the power plug out of the back, you're not going to cause irreparable damage.
Laptops, though, operate on a battery, so it could keep going if you're on a laptop. So that's one of the things hitting the power switch on any model will do it.
In fact, even with a laptop, providing it's not an Apple where they've got the damn battery soldered in.
Yeah. You could pull the battery.
You can pull the battery and then just leave it for several minutes. And what you want is for the memories to fade.
All the little capacitor storage devices in the computer, you want them to run out of juice.
Yeah.
And they'll keep some things going for a while, but not very long. So that's why you usually wait 15 seconds at least. After you turn a computer off to turn it back on. The thing of it is, bottom line is that Microsoft is never going to solicit you for such things. I'm not aware of any case where your computer says, you have a problem, you better call this number, and it's legitimate.
Right.
I don't think there's any case where that's legitimate.
Yeah.
The computer might say, you have a problem, and usually it doesn't say you have a problem. You figure out you have a problem because of its behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have a little pop-up window that says, oh, I have the flu. Oh, I'm sick. I broke my leg.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, and my circuitry's fried. It doesn't tell you things like that. No computer does that. So anything that comes up and says, oh, you have a problem detected with your computer, not.
Yeah.
It's bogus. So be very, very wary of that. If it strikes a chord with you and you're not sure, you know what? If you do have a problem with your computer, turning it off and rebooting it may clear it, or it certainly would clear that. So never, ever call the number they put on the screen. This isn't like television, you know, buy now and save later type thing.
The scam artists are just...
they're ruthless.
Yeah. On a similar note, one of the times that I got called over to help my mother with her computer... She says, well, it's not working. It's really, really slow. Well, it turns out when I fired it up, she had every browser bar, and is add the toolbar.
Right.
She had added every toolbar that had ever popped up.
Well, so the way they got added is she didn't purposely add them. It's that she had been somewhere on a website or something, and it says you have to opt out or it automatically loads it up for you, right?
Yeah.
So it isn't that she purposely loaded them. It's that they came as part of the package, if you want to look at it that way.
They fool you into tricking the accept button.
Yes.
And in some cases, just trying to... But what she had left was about 3 inches of toolbar at the top of her browser and a postcard under that, which was the working window.
Right. It's crazy. So the really important thing here is if these people are very aggressive...
And they're sneaky.
Well, they get abusive, actually. If you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. Say, you know what? I think I'll come back to this later or something. But they're very pushy. And if anyone, for any purpose, solicits your credit card number, asks you for that information, they ask you for your name, your address, last three or four of your social security number.
Yeah, PII.
PII, personally identifiable information, and they ask you to corroborate this stuff. They'll call and ask you to confirm it, maybe. Anything of that nature, do not say yes or whatever. Just say, I'm sorry. You know, don't even say I'm sorry. Say goodbye. I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that. That might be my answer. And usually when these people call, this is going to sound bad, but they have a foreign accent.
Yeah.
They are not speaking American English. And that isn't to say that some don't.
Or they're obviously reading off a script.
Or that's another one, right? And somebody that doesn't speak American English clearly... They're aggressive. They're soliciting this kind of information. I laugh at them. It's pretty obvious, very clear, very soon to me that this is a scam. And I start laughing. Mm-hmm. And that really sets them back. At first they try to intimidate. No, no, this is legitimate. And I'm like, yeah, right. You know, you should be ashamed of yourself. This is what I say. Should be ashamed of yourself bilking people out of their hard-earned money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're with Microsoft. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And they'll hang up on you.
Yep. So, Gail, glad that we talked to you, and I hope she took her computer to a local shop, because I'm not in a position to fix somebody's computer. Hand me a screwdriver and I'm dangerous. but she took it to a shop that is here in Reading. They do not advertise with us, but I'm going to say that it's Advanced Concepts, and they're one of the – they've been around for quite a while here in Reading. If I had something that I really couldn't handle, and none of my buddies who work on this stuff couldn't handle, I'd probably take it to them.
So the thing to realize, too, is that if you take your computer into a place like that,
yeah,
and it has a problem, there's a very good chance that you're going to lose all of the data on your machine.
And so, it doesn't matter whether it's Geek Squad or whatever.
It makes no difference. That if there is a significant problem on there, they will just do what is sometimes referred to as reimage the system, reset the system to factory settings. This will happen. Now, I do know of instances here in town where friends...
It's like nuking the site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
I do know of a case here in town. A friend of ours took a device into a local shop, and they didn't even bother to try to figure out what was going on. They just flat out reimaged it, reset it to factory settings. The point of that expectation that you can have or planning for that possibility is that if you have a lot of pictures of family or that are important to you, it doesn't matter what they're of, they could be of your cat. And what those pictures, those files, anything you have on your computer that you don't want lost, you need to back it up somehow, either with a local hard drive, a cloud service, something,
yeah,
and have the contents of your computer safe in another place.
Yeah, so what I would do, in like Gail's case, before you have a problem, is
right,
that you pick up one of these, and you can get like a 3-terabyte external hard drive for $100 now at places like Costco.
That's a lot of storage.
Yeah.
In fact, your computer probably doesn't have that much storage.
Yeah. And you don't plug it in all the time.
No.
You plug it in,
right,
transfer the contents,
correct,
of your documents and your pictures,
right,
onto the drive, and then unplug
and
it again.
Physically separate it from your computer so that there's no chance if somebody by any chance happens to hack into your computer, you've got that data completely separated from your device.
Yes. You can even get a honking big flash drive.
Yep.
And plug that in and copy your stuff on.
Which reminds me, a friend of ours bought a flash drive the other day that was, I believe it was an 8-gig hard drive,
mm-hmm,
and he got it for $5, six
yeah,
bucks, something
yeah,
like that. Back not that long ago, an 8-gig flash drive was pretty pricey.
Yeah. Now, I've got a 128-gig flash drive that I carry around with me that I've got all of my shows on, a lot of items. It's a USB 3, which is the super speed, and it acts like a spinning hard drive. It's so fast. But I actually back up my show onto that, and I carry it with me, so I can plug. And it's in a format that lets me plug it into a Windows or a Mac computer, which
sweet,
is kind of nice.
That is kind of nice. So more computer adventures with loading up your computer with junk.
Yeah,
and having problems is our friend Charlie. And he is electronically challenged, kind of like your mom was.
Right. Now, Charlie is still using, and this is how long he's been around computers, an AOL account.
Well, we have other friends that have that are more computer savvy.
It used to be, back in the day, when you bought a computer magazine, you had the 3-inch floppy.
Oh, yeah.
And bound into the magazine. And
indeed.
It was AOL, and so you'd erase it, and then you'd have a free hard floppy drive.
Yeah, there was that, too, right?
But everybody had an AOL account pretty much at one time.
I had one. You've got mail.
Yeah. Now, AOL had their own operating system. They were their own service. You dialed back in the days when you dialed in, and then it became more of an application, they became a service provider for a while. They were buying up companies like Time Warner. You don't hear much about AOL anymore. They have become merely a shadow of their former
self. They kind of shrunk, expanded, and then deflated, I guess, maybe you could say.
But for those who still, you go through now, instead of the AOL application, you go through a web portal, which you can access from any browser.
That makes sense. Why they would do that.
So you're not just stuck to your home computer to get to your AOL content. But over the years, Charlie's computer has accumulated a digital plaque.
Yeah, there you go, digital plaque. And he had complained, well, I don't understand why this, or how does this work, or how does that work, or it's not working. So we've rescued him a few times, and finally, the last couple tasks, his computer was so slow.
Yeah, now he's got a. Now he doesn't have a CRT, but he does have an early model flat screen. The CPU is a Hewlett Packard of probably 10-year vintage. I think it has a dual core.
Not a bad computer per se.
It's old and noisy.
Right.
And extremely slow. So we took a look at it. We said, what are we going to do? Charlie, it's probably about time to think about a new computer.
Well, take a step back, though, and talk about why it was so slow.
Well, he had, one of the things that had happened, and a lot of people fall into this trap, they will have not only the antivirus that came with their computer when they bought it brand new, and they just keep buying it year after year, but say they'll get a protection plan from Costco or one of these others. So Charlie had like three antivirus systems running at the same time.
At the same time. In other words,
this is bad.
Yeah, it's three security deals running at the same time. Now, those not only do they fight, but those are fairly CPU-intensive programs.
They eat a lot of your memory space and tie up a lot of your CPU cycles.
Because it's looking for, it's going through your whole computer system looking for things. Well, imagine three of them doing this. It's like having three housekeepers come through your house at the same time.
Yeah.
And they're all getting moving stuff and dusting things, right? And nothing gets back where it's supposed to in that case. But it's chaos. Yeah. So that's what drug the speed of the computer down. But in addition to that, it's an operating system that's no longer secure.
It's an early version of Windows 7. I don't know if it's ever been updated. I thought it was XP, but it turned out to be 7, which you can live with for a while yet. But it was time maybe to get him a bigger hard drive, something that would work a little faster, something that played on the Internet a little nicer. What we wound up finding, and this is something that, and I don't like all-in-one computers because if the monitor goes wonky, you've lost the entire computer. In Charlie's case, I don't think that's a big deal. Because if anything fails, the whole mess has to come out anyway. So we did a little shopping, and right now, just about every computer store has this same model or a variant of it. It's the Hewlett-Packard 19.5-inch all-in-one with an AMD processor in it. It comes with 4 gigs of RAM, a terabyte hard drive, speakers built in, has a mouse and keyboard. All for $330.
That's pretty tough to beat. Now, explain what an all-in-one is.
Rather than having the tower and then the monitor as separate components, this combines all into what is essentially a fat monitor. All of the pieces of the computer, so your drive ports, your this one has a DVD CD slot on the side. It has a way to plug in an extension monitor. It has your USB ports on the back. So everything is in a compact package, so it sets up real fast, and it should be a whole lot quicker. It's going to run on Windows 10 Home Edition. Should be a lot faster than Charlie's old Windows 7.
Right, and the other advantage, too, is when you have these all-in-ones, everything is right there at monitor level.
Yeah.
You don't have to reach down under the desk if you, that's where you have your
little
tower. Move
the cat off the computer.
Yeah, take the cat off the computer. It's not very portable, necessarily, but at the same time, we'll see how well this works. And they have CD/DVD drives in them and the whole thing. It's just that it's a very different looking format. So everything's built into the screen, if you want to look at it that way.
So if you're thinking maybe it's about time for a new computer, we're going to let you know how well this one works for us. We'll be setting it up over the weekend. But for $330 with a warranty on it, that's not bad.
If he doesn't want it, we'll take it.
So we do have our adventures with our devices. Hey, when we come back, my son Alan will be calling in with his tech stories for this week. It's all coming up on Boomer Tech Radio, and we'll tell you how to get in touch with us during the show as well, in case you got some story ideas. Boomer Tech Radio back after this. Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneville. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and, of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab, faster for less.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Light Church in Bella Vista. I have a word for men, women, boys, and girls, and it's very simple. God created you just the way you are, a male or a female. Feeling like you are the opposite sex or having an irreversible surgery will not change that fact. Don't allow the anti-God sexual revolution to destroy the awesome person God created you to be. And parents, don't let this insanity destroy you and your children. Protect them by your family having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here in the studios of KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, we welcome Shasta County Board of Supervisors Les Baugh and Mary Rickard. Let's talk about why we don't have any jail space and what they are doing to increase the beds in the Shasta County Jail. Also, Dr. Nancy Sutton-Pierce here to discuss communication between men and women and how to spice up their sex lives. All of this Monday here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later. And often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Welcome back. It's Boomer Tag Radio with Bob and Brenda. And joining me now via Skype through the miracle of electronics, of course, is my son, Alan. And welcome back for another week, Alan.
Howdy.
Well, seems like it hasn't
been. Skype used to be a miracle. Now it's just okay.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know.
One thing I've noticed, though, and we commented on this last week, is that it used to be voice over IP, and Skype was pretty scratchy. If you were lucky, you got kind of a tin can noise. Now it's almost as if you've got a good solid connection, you're sitting right there in the studio.
Pretty much. Yeah, you get the studio quality microphones now that are still definitely better than commercial grade, but if you decide to pony up some money to get a decent headset, it comes through definitely clear enough.
Well, I was going to mention that. Now, I'm using a Sennheiser Broadcaster's headset and then a Tascam mini studio interface. But a lot of gamers, because, and we've talked about this before, people will put up with kind of a dodgy video if the audio is crystal clear. So you went out shopping, and we don't have probably too many gamers, but we do have people who need to be able to make high-quality communication. So tell me a little bit about what you're using to talk on right now.
Well, I needed two different things when I was looking for the headset, just because I like walking around the house with my headset on. So I needed to be wireless, and I needed to plug into USB port. And with both of those things, I looked around for a while and settled on the Corsair Void headset, and while it was a bit expensive, a little over $100, it ended up definitely being worth the purchase. There's no lag time for it. It lasts for like 7 hours if you fully charge it, as long as you're not listening to too loud of music. And yeah, as you can hear, the microphone sound quality is pretty darn good.
Now, is this a Bluetooth or is it a dedicated transmitter receiver combination?
Transmitter receiver. I did not want Bluetooth.
Okay.
One of the issues I ran in with Bluetooth is when you're trying to send audio and receive audio over the same Bluetooth connection, it sounds not very good. Like, it can't get any better than what your phone's headset sounds, which is not exactly the highest sound quality out there. I wanted to be able to listen to decent music or noise or other sounds for things while being able to talk through the same signal. And I had originally bought a Bluetooth headset, and the audio quality was fantastic until I turned the microphone on. And then it went to absolute garbage. It sounded tinny and terrible. And there was actually, I looked, and there was no recourse for it. If you wanted the microphone and the speakers on at the same time, it was going to sound like all bad.
Mm.
So don't make the mistake. If you want a decent wireless headset for both sounds coming in and coming out, just stick with USB.
And Corsair, of course, has been in the business of doing audio cards pretty much since back in the beige box days.
Right. They've been around a long time.
Yeah, they've been at this for a while. The speakers and all that. Logitech, of course, sells a lot more mice and keyboards, and they have a line of headsets, but this certainly sounds a whole lot better than any Logitech I've ever heard. We've got stories, and bring it on.
Have you heard of the Pepper robot that Japan's been spending time developing? The kind of weird-looking robot that you can talk to?
Goofy-looking, about 2.5 feet tall, I think, something like that.
Yeah. Well, over in Singapore, they've actually started incorporating the goofy little robot into Pizza Huts.
Oh, all right.
Where you can, the robot will come up to your table, you can talk to it, order your pizza through it, and then it'll eventually bring your pizza to you from the kitchen.
Hmm.
It's a bit of a gimmick, obviously, but it's still kind of interesting that it's starting to be deployed in a, you know, real store. It's not really to like save wages. It's definitely to attract people. But it's still funny that they felt it's good enough to even try.
Well, like the burger flipping robot that is being deployed in San Francisco, the same town, of course, where they banned robots from sidewalks.
On the street, yeah.
And of course, there's the big thing about. They raised the minimum wage to, what was it, $15 or something like that. So restaurants can't even afford to have a human staff unless they have a lot of resources. Because restaurant margins are pretty darn narrow. They operate on about a 3-4% profit margin by the time it's all done. Most retail businesses like to see, you know, 15% to keep their doors open. But I think we are going to see more of this, a lot of kiosk order, mechanized delivery systems, and they don't take breaks, they don't get vacation, they don't get sick. You know, somebody, if they go wrong, you deploy another one. But I think there's going to be always a niche for people. But
right. People would rather talk to people in a lot of different circumstances.
Yeah, go ahead.
For the longest time, it's going to take quite a while to fully replace the real feeling of talking to somebody else rather than kind of talking to a machine, you know?
I've been in some coffee places where I rather would have a robot serve me, but...
No, I just want a coffee.
Yeah, there's a major corporation where I think part of the hiring process is a prefrontal. I tell you, I just want my coffee, okay? And it's or you do say, well, yeah, beautiful day. It's like, huh? Robot.
And you give up.
Yep. Yeah.
I had heard they actually are, I forgot who was, but someone's trying to introduce legislation to tax companies on when they hire or when they don't hire people and use robots instead to, like, pay for unemployment people or something
like that.
Robot
tax. And there's even been talk about using that to fund, because there's this gigantic fear, and people like Musk and, I think, who else has mentioned this? I don't think it was, not Wozniak, but Hawking, of course, who passed away earlier this week. He talked about, you know, humanity, if not being threatened, at least pushed into an idle idleness. I think people are going to find other things to do, because any student of history has read that during the Industrial Revolution, it was the workers were feeling displaced to the point of sabotaging machinery, and they thought they would all be idle. They just found other things to do and got other skills. And
right.
That's how it works. So I don't think we're all going to be sitting around twiddling our thumbs.
I mean, I understand and agree it's hard to tell where the line of how AI is going to, what AI is actually going to be capable of doing in the future. Because it is possible it'll be able to do pretty much any, well, for a while, non-creative thing that we can think of. Like, my whole job, it probably could be automated, take a while to teach the robot what to do, but and cost a lot to do it. But I could definitely see a lot of things being replaced that's not, well, a radio show or music or anything creative, you know?
Stocking shelves and, maintaining inventory, things like that. These are jobs. And even things like legal assistant. What legal assistants do, they take a piece of paper, write something on it, and then go look through a whole lot of books, taking hours to do so. What an automated system can do the same function in a matter of moments. Same, how many government jobs are just involved in looking at a terminal and copying stuff from one terminal to another, or copying something from a piece of paper into a terminal. We have better ways to do that. Right now, those are just, there is jobs, you know, as far as clerical stuff. We're always going to need people in the loop. I mean, people, anyone who thinks that we're just going to be able to take away all employment. No, we, like I said, individuals will find themselves other ways to branch out in doing the stuff that an automated system simply cannot.
Right, and not to mention there's going to be plenty of things in the future that we can't even fathom that people are going to be doing, which will have to be worked by somebody.
Exactly.
And it's hard to legislate, you know, stopping companies or trying to prevent companies or even hurting companies that want to move on to these automated laborers, you know, just because we think their displaced workers might not be able to feed themselves anymore.
Legislation through fear. We could go down a real deep rabbit hole on that one.
Yeah.
We've had some other news and technology, of course. What was this? Oh, this was an interesting one that I thought. A French court has ruled that Facebook didn't fulfill its contract because it closed the account of a man who had posted a photo of a famous nude painting. The Parisian teacher said he that was the reason that they shut down his account. So I have a feeling that was done by an automated system. Said, oop, they're skinning this. I'm going to shut down your account for posting nudes.
Yeah. Well, it's technically correct, but computers don't really have a good common sense for like, well, that really doesn't count in the same way. Come on, computer. it don't care.
What other news do we have this week?
Like, speaking of common sense, the ARC, Allen Institute for AI, is developing a ARC reasoning challenge for AI to try to get their whole thing is to try to get computers or AI in general to get better at the common sense thing, which is, you know, filling in the gaps between information before making your decision. Since people have to make all sorts of decisions based on incomplete information, and what we fill in with that incomplete information is our common sense. Unfortunately, AI doesn't have that. If it can't get down to the one option that it can decide on with perfect information, then it's going to just either not or try to pick the best outcome, but oftentimes that does create issues, or it makes the wrong choice, or something that's really dumb.
Now, this is the same Paul Allen who, of course, financed the Allen Array, not far from Reading, which is a search for extraterrestrial intelligence, and he's one of the co-founders of Microsoft. So this guy's got a couple of bucks in his pocket, and it's interesting that he's funding all these things. They're up in Seattle, Washington. And a real interesting tweet from them I was just looking at. AI2 pursuing common sense AI, but as all we know, as we all know, real common sense starts in our heads. The Allen Institute building fantastic resources to help researchers unlock the mysteries of the human brain. I suggest they start with Congress.
You have a lot of unlocking to do there.
Yeah. That, yeah.
They're locked up tight over
there. Pick that lock.
So one of the example questions on this test to try to get AI to actually understand something that it needs to answer is, which of these items is not made from a material grown in nature? And it lists a cotton shirt, a wooden chair, a plastic spoon, or a grass basket. And an AI would need a heck of a lot of information to actually figure that out.
Right.
You know, people could figure that out really easily. It's like, well, duh, it's the plastic spoon. But AI without a whole slew of information, I have a hard time guessing, because that's what it'd have to do. So they're making tests like that and trying to get AI better at not just having to feed it a whole bunch of wrong answers, because that's how AI makes a lot of its determinants. It tries a whole bunch of things. Whatever doesn't work, it's like, okay, that doesn't work, well, that doesn't work, and that doesn't work, so this works. But they're trying to get it to make the right choices without all the incorrect guessings first.
Excellent. Now, I understand they're actually working on the quite a few different things, but they're, unlike, because Elon Musk and who else... Bill Gates. And it looks like that Allen and Gates have a little parting of the mindsets here. Bill Gates warned that, and that's by the fact that he's been part of this whole thing. He warns about excessive reliance on artificial intelligence, and I think that we've been fed an awful lot of science fiction. Well, since the 1930s, that it's all going to go horribly wrong. It could be used wrong, but I don't think it's going to go all Forbin Project Skynet on us anytime soon.
Right. The big issue I always have with that is, why would the computer care to take over the world or whatever? I mean, that's the big thing. It doesn't care. Without getting some sort of,
malevolence
or intent or reason behind any of its actions, why would it do anything to harm humans? The only way it could is if it gets programmed to, find humans, replaceable or something like that. But I find it hard that it would actually, come to these decisions on its own, because it doesn't actually care or have the drive to self, survive by itself like life does or anything like that.
Would point out that we still have not quite found a machine that will successfully pass a Turing test, which, of course, is that you have a large number of humans talking with the entity, and they don't know if it is a person or a machine. And if a significant people cannot tell the difference, then that is what the Turing test is about. And I don't know if it's a set of an actual fixed set of questions, but I'll have to find out a little bit more about that.
And whenever I talk to anything online, sometimes I'm like, are you a bot? And then it's like, no, it's just somebody's dumb. Never mind.
Or when you get that phone call and you start having a conversation with the voice on the phone and, it's an automated system.
That happens awful quick when they call you. Especially because you pick up the phone, it's a couple seconds before they're like, hello.
Yeah, oh, I am. that really cheesy, hello.
Yeah.
Other headlines.
So you want to get HD signal from Mars?
Ooh.
Yes, it does.
Do I want
They're in anticipation of all sorts of various things coming from Mars, hopefully in the future. NASA's putting together a satellite, like the one that's around the moon right now, to send HD video in, well, as real time as possible from Mars to the Earth. Now, the big issue with this is that, well, for one, Mars is really far away, really, really far away.
Usually about 17 minutes or so for a signal to get from one to the other, yeah.
Takes about 20, like you said, 17, 20 minutes for light to reach one to the other, depending on how far away we are from them. So the signal, when it gets a signal from Earth and it needs to respond, it can't just fire back in the direction that it got, because the Earth's not going to be there by the time it gets back, which will be, you know, about 40 minutes later.
Right.
So Earth moves kind of a good distance in 40 minutes. So it has to do all sorts of calculations and predictions and all that of where Earth's going to be, and then send it there, because it'll have to, you know, send it a little far ahead of Earth so that it'll actually reach Earth will intercept the beam as it goes through its, you know, orbit. So they're working on putting together this satellite to send off and start orbiting Mars, so that when we finally get people out there, they'll be able to send HD video back here, which will look a heck of a lot better than when, you know, we landed on the moon for the first time.
There was an article, I think it was last week, about a satellite being put up to provide 4G cell signals. This is how crazy, 4G cell signals to the moon, because that's going to enable future space probes and possibly the beginnings of a colony to utilize existing hardware for communications. And at first it sounded to say, okay, 4G on the moon, that sounds like something sounds like a pretty expensive stunt. But actually, the chips to communicate 4G and eventually 5G wireless data are dirt cheap. So why spend millions and millions of dollars developing a communication system when we've got hardware laying around on the shelf?
Exactly. If the technology already exists and it works fine in the vacuum of space, then why not just keep using that?
Exactly. One more story.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, one more story I think we got time for.
Well, have you know the whole Bitcoin mining and cryptocurrency and all that's caused, like, huge inflations for GPU pricing?
I've been rather irritated by this, to be honest.
Anybody that actually wants to, you know, do any sort of 3D rendering or play video games on their computer,
or or do video, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely well aware of the massive increase in prices for GPU software. So one company's trying to at least bank on that a little bit, to use these, call them, shadow computers. For a while ago, they tried doing this to where you can, essentially pay to rent an off-site computer and then stream that information back to your, well, kind of crappy computer to play games or
anything else
like that. And it's actually gotten to a point to where it's hard to tell that you're streaming information back to your computer when you're playing certain games on them.
Steam has been really pushing this out.
Yeah. Yeah, Steam's definitely a
which is a big
proponent of
game
that
service. Yeah.
Yeah, Steam is like the leading platform for if you want to play a PC game, since it hosts and downloads all sorts of different games that exist on there. But anyway, so you can pay this service called Shadow, and they'll stream a pretty decent computer back to you to do anything you like on it. And one of the funniest side benefits you get from that is since they have like a really awesome internet connection there, and then they're just streaming the video of it to you, you get a pretty decent internet speed when if you just wanted to use that computer to browse the internet, because your computer's not actually loading the web page or the graphics or anything like that. It's just getting the video from the computer remotely. you can kind of use it as a super high-speed internet browsing machine.
The early days of computing were a central CPU and then client, you know, host-client systems, and it seems like we've looped around and we're coming back to that all the time. For the, we're going to have to expand to two segments, Alan, because we are already hitting the end of this one. I want to thank you very much for dialing in. Thanks, son, and we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
It's Boomer Tech Radio, Bob, Brenda, and Alan. More of the tech news you can use after the top of the hour.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
The death toll now at 6 in the aftermath of that pedestrian walkway collapse at Florida International University this past week. Miami-Dade County Police Director Juan Perez says crews are working to remove two more vehicles.
It's going to be a long process. We've been saying that from the beginning because of the amount of weight and the size of the structure that is laying on top of these vehicles.
Florida officials say just 2 days before the bridge collapse, an engineer left a voicemail saying some cracking had been found at one end of the span, but the voicemail to the Florida Department of Transportation wasn't picked up until after the collapse. The engineer said in the call he didn't believe the cracking posed a safety issue, but safety official says that remains to be seen. According to President Trump, the firing of former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe this week was a great day for democracy.
The president took to social media after the Justice Department fired McCabe 2 days before his scheduled retirement date. He tweeted that McCabe's firing was a great day for the hardworking men and women of the FBI. The president had been critical of McCabe's handling of the Clinton email investigation. In a public statement, McCabe decried his firing and suggested it was part of the Trump administration's war on the FBI.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston. A bipartisan group of senators has introduced a bill to ban gag clauses when it comes to prescription drug prices. So-called gag clauses prevented pharmacies from telling customers ahead of time they could save money on a prescription if they paid out of pocket rather than through their insurance. Now, this bill comes amid a recent study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association that found 23% of prescriptions filled through insurance ended up costing customers more than if they had paid out of pocket. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Physicians designed Relief Factor as an essential way to support the body's natural fight against aches and pains. It's made from wild-caught fish oil and botanicals like turmeric, and it's a healthy way to get back into pain-free life. There's no side effects. There's no chemicals. There's no preservatives. There is nothing addictive. And that's why you can be very confident that when you take Relief Factor, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Maybe you can't wear your favorite shoes anymore because of pain in your feet. Relief Factor can help with all of that. $19.95 comes to 95 cents a day. That's less than a cup of coffee a day for pain relief. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read all the testimonials. Find out about it for yourself and order that quick start. Just $19.95 or 95 cents a day for 3 weeks. Or you can call them. It's toll-free. They can answer all your questions. 1-800-500-8384. That's toll-free. 1-800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
In Mexico, 18 people have been arrested following the abduction and murder of two law enforcement agents forced to take part in a video before they were murdered.
The Mexican Attorney General's office says the arrests, which include members of the Puerto Vallarta police and Colombian citizens, took place in the western states of Jalisco and Nayarit. This region's plagued by the Jalisco New Generation drug cartel. In the video, the two men who were members of the Mexican Criminal Investigations Unit were accused by gangsters of being undercover agents. Their bodies were found in Nayarit 2 weeks after they were abducted from a children's birthday party. James Blears, Mexico.
Tens of thousands of elderly Spaniards rallied across the country today to demand an increase in public pension payouts. We say the 0.25% they got in 2017 isn't keeping up with inflation. More on these stories at townhall.com. The FAA, spurred by a deadly tourist helicopter crash in New York City last weekend, has ordered a temporary nationwide ban on flights with the doors off.
The FAA on Friday grounded the doors off flights amid concerns that harnesses meant to keep passengers from tumbling out of their seats wound up preventing them from escaping when that helicopter plunged into the East River last Sunday. The pilot got out, but all five passengers died. The parents of 26-year-old Trevor Cadigan, who was killed in the crash, called the helicopter's harnesses a death trap in a lawsuit, and their lawyer said because the restraints fasten in the back, they're difficult to unlatch. The cause of Sunday's crash has not been determined. Julie Walker, New York.
You can check out more news, get more analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading, on the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneville. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive. Welcome back. Boomer Tech Radio is the name of the show, and the name of this host is Bob Belongi,
along with Brenda Belongi.
Analog Living in a Digital World, our program, brought to you here in Reading by Advanced Automotive. You've been hearing their commercials. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. Great guys. They take care of our vehicles. And quite
very
nicely.
Well.
Yeah,
yes.
Quite nicely so. Theme music composed and performed by George Wood, called 8-Bit Junkie, and you can find it on the PodSafe Music Network. If you want to drop us a line, of course, you can email boomertechradio@gmail.com. Stop by the Boomer Tech Radio website at boomertechradio.com. We make it easy. If you want to download the podcast, you can either go to the KCNR/archives or simply download from our boomertechradio.com website, subscribe on iTunes or Google Play or TuneIn.
So many ways.
So many ways.
I don't know how you remember all that because I can't remember all that. And you don't even have that written down.
I don't. It was, and it wasn't TuneIn. It's Stitcher, which is the other big podcasting application.
I thought we were on TuneIn.
And we are on TuneIn. So there's four different services that you can subscribe to. Or you can simply go straight to the website.
That makes us sound like we're big time.
It does make us sound like we're big time.
I'm not sure how big time we are. I don't think we are very big time.
Do you remember the Max Headroom show where you had big time television? They were operating out of an RV, and he was playing old videotapes.
You know, I would have to go back and revisit that show because at the time that it was on, network or whatever, I watched a little of it and did not get it at
You'd
all.
You'd probably appreciate it more
I,
now.
I'm sure I would, but at the time it was like, this is weird. I don't get it. And I just never connected with it.
Well, the show Altered Carbon, which is a very esoteric show.
Very cerebral.
On Netflix, has Matt Frewer.
Yes.
Sort of reprising his Max Headroom persona.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, he's aged a little bit since he did Max
Even
Headroom.
So, it's like, I didn't know him as an actor very well at all. And didn't they kind of have it? He looked animated or something.
Yeah, yeah.
In
his mannerisms
show, mannerisms, whatever. I said, this actor has that down pat. And Bob goes, well, that is the actor that did that. I said, well, no wonder that makes it tough. I'd seen it Max Headroom enough to know that
yeah.
much.
And, of course, this was like 80s technology that they did the animated, the computer-generated mm-hmm. entity known as Max Headroom.
Mm-hmm.
But they just had it down to a T.
That's crazy.
Have to revisit that old show because it was actually, it did a lot of neat that we're seeing in shows now, a lot of retro tech rolled into the futuristic vision. You had manual typewriters and these really neat old cars, and actually set a pattern. And the other thing about, of course, Altered Carbon is that, I mean, they really borrowed heavily from Blade Runner and other Philip K. Dick type images.
There's several very pointed references to pop culture,
mm-hmm.
Sci-fi movies and things like that that are, you catch most of them. Yeah. I don't catch very many of them.
Well, if we ever go see Ready Player One, I'm going to have to go see it about four times, I guess, because of all the pop culture and game and movie references are rolled into that film.
I'll get lost.
Yeah.
I don't have that library in my head like you do. Anyway.
We got a couple of quick stories to start off our second hour here. Spotify, which is a music streaming service, they plan on trading on the New York Stock Exchange April the 3rd. They will be releasing their latest annual financial guidance. Spotify announced the timing at an investor day. The company plans to skip the roadshow meetings and media interviews that are typical of an IPO. It'll be interesting to see. Now, we've seen public offerings that have met the price. We've seen them that have vastly exceeded the price. And then we've seen them that have flopped.
Oh, there's that, right? For sure.
General Motors. Now, we saw Chevy Bolts at the Phoenix, Arizona car show
mm-hmm.
a year ago.
Friend of ours has one.
Yeah.
Friends of ours have one. That one. Actually, two sets of friends of ours have them.
Well, General Motors has announced they're going to be spending $100 million to start producing self-driving Chevy Bolts at a couple of Michigan manufacturing facilities. Vehicles, which are known as the Cruise AV, will be the automaker's first production-ready cars designed to operate with no steering wheel, manual controls, or pedals. Hello, I'm Johnny Cab.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Let me think about this. There's the Chevy Volt, and yeah. there's the Chevy Bolt.
Right.
One with a V as in Victor, and the other is B as in Balanji.
Let's go out of our way to confuse the
yeah,
consumer.
Yeah, no kidding. So maybe I'm thinking of the Volt that friends... I think it's the Volt that our friends have.
Well, the Bolt is the all-electric.
Yeah.
Well, the Volt is the all-electric.
That's what I thought. Yeah, yeah. So this is the hybrid. The Bolt is the hybrid. That's what I thought. Mm. I don't know. Car enthusiasts will probably straighten us out if we're wrong. But nevertheless, GM has been heavily testing autonomous-type vehicles in urban environments like San Francisco, which is notoriously difficult traffic, and because it's that complicated mixture of buses and cabs and cars and pedestrians and all of that kind of thing that come into play with this.
Urban centers are looking at a scalable, on-demand mass transportation system.
And there are certainly areas within San Francisco where I could see having human-operated vehicles banned and nothing but electric or hybrid self-driving cars in those areas.
Yeah.
Self-driving cars can play very well with other self-driving cars. Pedestrians would into that mix is probably a little tricky. They'll have to work some of that stuff out. But just because, you know, it has to have quite the AI, as Alan pointed out in the last hour, there's a lot of information that an AI has to have to function properly.
Well,
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, cities are looking at this because right now if you've got, say, a 45-passenger city bus and it breaks, you've lost an entire route. But if you're using 2-, 3-, 4-passenger electric vehicles on on-demand routes, first of all, you're not running an empty bus burning fuel down the street, clogging up the street with 45 feet of bus. When somebody needs to take a ride, they get the ride. And if it breaks down, you pull that one out and you stick another one out in its place. So you have this whole fleet of these vehicles constantly being recharged, serviced, and rolled back out.
Kind of like a ski lift.
Right.
You know, when a chair is needed, it gets occupied and off it goes. Otherwise, in the case of a ski lift, of course, the car goes along for the ride anyway, if you will. But it is on demand.
So these vehicles will be in a couple of locations through the town when they're not in service. They are recharging. And then when there's a call for service, let's say you walk up to the bus stop and instead of waiting for a half an hour in the rain, you tap your smartphone and along comes the car.
Very interesting. And there still will probably have to be designated pickup spots because you have the in and out of the traffic. You can't just be picked up anywhere.
Right.
Otherwise, that would really honk traffic up. Unless traffic lanes are designed to, let's say a two-lane street becomes a one-lane street where the traffic moving along in the one lane and then the curbside thing is for people to be picked up. I don't know how they're going to work that out. It's definitely going to change the feel, look, operation, whatever, nature of transportation, especially in urban centers.
Well, Musk is looking at where we have commuter trains and things like that, and especially in San Francisco where the BART system is underground. Imagine something similar to that. Rather than running a big, long train, you've got these cars that are operating underground, and Musk is looking at that with the Boring Company making these tunnels as a low-ground infrastructure, and then above the ground you can grow trees and things like that, a more park-like setting, and then all your transportation takes place out of sight.
Well, not only out of sight, but it doesn't use up land for that. So it brings new meaning to underground.
Underground. The underground.
And, you know, London's had
that
for a long time.
So you've got existing track runs and things like that, and all you have to do is sort of expand it. So a combination of above and below ground. Musk's thing is that it would have main trunk lines that are these underground tunnels, and then you would come up to the surface and then to your final destination very, very quickly. Earlier this week, President Donald Trump blocked Broadcom from purchasing Qualcomm. And now, Broadcom is a Singapore-based company, Qualcomm U.S.-based. And this was Qualcomm makes chips for phones, a lot of chips for a lot of phones. And there was concerns, national security concerns, about a foreign-based company owning a gigantic chunk of a U.S. company. And now Broadcom wanted to move some of their operations to locate to the United States, but they would still be foreign-owned. So the president blocked that move. It was $117 billion in a hostile takeover bid. It wasn't like Qualcomm said, we want to be bought.
Right.
This was Broadcom sucking up all the stock in order to occupy that share of the market. But that's not going to happen. The company, Broadcom, still wants to go ahead with smaller acquisitions of accusations, too, maybe, of chip makers. And you've heard us talk about ICANN, I-C-A-N-N. These are the friendly folks who assign names and numbers for everything. They are the big telephone directory for the Internet. That's that number 192.168.1.1.
What we call an IP address.
Right, right.
And ICANN stands for Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers.
They've been getting a lot of heat. Now, the European Union is really cracking down on privacy. Some of it is legitimate privacy concerns, Some of it is also hostility towards American companies. Google and Apple have been facing a lot of pressure and fines from the Europeans, who they present it as picking on the overbearing American companies. What it really is penalizing these companies so that their own local and often crappy services have an advantage.
The this is, as always with tech, is a double-edged sword. Certainly it protects individuals' information, but major tech companies are pushing back because they say it's going to limit their ability to track down the bad people across the Internet. It doesn't open, you know, doesn't leave that track or trail as open or viewable as it is or has been. So, you know, there's always a trade-off, I think, with these things. It's kind of interesting that the European Union protects online data when they got cameras all over Europe that take pictures of everybody everywhere. And that's a sort of an invasion of privacy as we would view it here in the United States, you know, because you're taking pictures of you all the time. So it just strikes me as odd, and maybe I don't quite have it right, but that they would be so concerned about Internet privacy or online privacy like that, but not so much your physical whereabouts privacy.
Yeah.
This strikes me as a bit odd, but...
Well, of course, Europe has this whole right to be forgotten thing, and
yeah, there's that. Try to get erased from the system, but that seems almost impossible. But anyhow,
it is. Well, and we've got a story a little bit later on about Bitcoin. It was hailed as a way to be able to have all your transactions perfectly invisible to the government. Well, not so fast. And a year ago, a friend of ours who is affiliated with law enforcement says, there's nothing anonymous about Bitcoin. It takes a little more work, but you can track down whoever's spent what. And a bit of a horror story about Bitcoin taxes. We'll have that. But right now, though, we want to talk about smart homes. And yes, things can go terribly wrong, but a little bit of foresight is going to save you some headaches on this. So, Brenda, I sent this story to you about, now we've got a Nest, we've got a couple of cameras and things like that, so far, and of course, but we haven't had the evil cackling laugh from our Alexa,
no,
some people have reported.
Definitely not that kind of thing. You know, it's like any tech, it definitely gives you a lot of advantages, but then it can also have some disadvantages. And I think one of the biggest issues from what we have read and followed up on with smart homes is the security of the system. Now, if you have automatic garage door openers or window locks or even a door lock, that sort of thing, and things are hacked into, your house can be wide open. But there's other things, maybe such as lights on and off and that sort of thing that, you know, are not as critical, but certainly security systems have to be pretty tight. So anyway, it's just an overview.
Right. One of the leaders in this, of course, is the new Harmony remote, which not only runs your TV, but it will talk to the rest of the systems in your house, set your thermostats, set your lights. Can these systems be compromised and possibly cause problems? Oh, yeah. Well, this is where you need to do your basic things like make sure that all your passwords have been set up so that they're not all the factory default. Smart home products, you know, they bring you notifications, status reports. when my mother was ill, my brother used a smart camera to note when somebody came in. He could check on her and even turn on a little speaker and say, is everything okay?
Right.
Or note when if she had gotten up and move, and tried to move around or something. Now, of course, the product, you know, having this convenience doesn't come without a price. The security cameras, if you want to store the footage on the cloud, you've got a monthly fee for that. For alerts, you pay a certain amount depending on the company. And SmartThings, okay, now there's a company called SmartThings which is doesn't say who owns SmartThings, and I think they've been acquired. It's but their hub, because all these devices communicate with the internet, and if you have no internet communication, everything stops working. Samsung now owns SmartThings. I knew that they'd been sold. They have fixed the issue. This does indicate that if you are heavily reliant on the cloud, on the internet, when the internet stops working, well, for example, in any radio station now that receives a lot of programming via the internet, this is why we still get a lot of our audio through a satellite dish, because the internet itself is not quite reliable enough for 24/7 uninterrupted operation.
Mm-hmm.
Smart lock owners had a scare last year. HomeKit enabled smart locks. It was found out that an iOS update actually left a hole in their security that somebody could have gotten in there and undone the smart lock. Apple quickly moved to resolve the issue. But that's the thing. You know, when you have a manual lock, somebody could theoretically pick it. But a smart lock, all it takes is one wrong line of code,
right,
and your security doesn't exist anymore.
Or a hacked, a vulnerability that makes it hackable. That's the biggest vulnerability in these things is there's not enough security. There's bugs and things like that that allow access and that sort of thing. And some of them get fixed right away and others don't, but I would be really reluctant to have an electronic lock on my house of that nature. You know, if you have one that is not connected to the internet, fine. You know, electronic one that you walk up and hit, you know, keypad things, or it has biometrics like your thumbprint or something like that, fine. I don't have a problem with that, but not a connected one. I would be really reluctant to put a connected. Although for some people that may be good, because if they have, say, limited they're physically limited and want to be able to open a locked door with a voice command or something like that, that could be good. But so, you know, it just depends on circumstances.
If my mom had remained ill for a longer period of time, it would have made sense to put a smart lock on the door so that rather than have to try to get out of bed if a visitor came along, she could have looked at the monitor and opened the door from a remote button.
Exactly.
Of course, the information. Now, we've lived with a smart thermostat, a Nest, for some years now, and for the most part, it just does what it does its thing. And it was kind of cool to be able to check when we were out of town and some friends were using our house that we have a friend who was a little bit thermostat happy and tended to like to crank the place up to about 79 degrees.
And forget to turn it down. When they left.
So you could just turn it down remotely.
Or weren't in the house.
Yeah, they weren't in the house.
That's in the case of the live-in caregiver.
But every month I get an email saying, this is your energy usage. Well, okay, but what are they doing with that?
Right.
Could we see a scenario where an agency says, you're using too much power at the wrong time, so we're going to penalize? Now, we've already got smart meters, and a lot of people freak out about smart meters, you know, time of day billing, time of day usage.
Well, we don't have much choice with that.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a smart meter, I guess, but
well, the more and more of them, it's
mandatory.
It's not an option,
right? It's mandatory.
Right now, they can't just shut off your air conditioner unless somehow your air conditioner is tied in, or you have a Nest or something like that, and it's tied in. Will that become mandatory? I don't think consumers will put up with that.
Yeah, that's a bit intrusive. That's very Big Brother-ish. That's Big Brother-ish. That's Big Brother watching Big Brother.
So if you didn't want to stick your toe into home automation and these things, and hard to go wrong with just starting out with like a Philips Hue light bulb.
Sure. Yeah, lights are a good one.
They don't harvest a lot of your personal data.
No, other than about the most they can get out of that is how much you use, which light. You know, maybe even not that, but what time you use lights, that's about all they're going to get out of that, which indicates kind of when you're home. But at the same time, I'm sure that this data is used by somebody for something.
Right.
That's the whole thing, why some of these things are free, these apps are free and whatever, because they're making money on your data.
Ken Staffel, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch.
Yep. They may not be identifying individuals in this case, and there, I think, is law, our laws about what's being gathered and who's sharing what and that sort of thing, but even so. And it, that isn't to say that a smart home is evil and that you should not do this, but very carefully considered. I don't think I would care to have a completely connected home.
No.
I don't think I'd do it.
If you do have the bulbs or a Nest or a smart speaker, things like that, your one point of failure is, of course, your home network.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has to go through the home Wi-Fi,
mm-hmm.
Router or modem or whatever. Make sure that your router security is not the default.
Right.
If you have to pay somebody to come over and set your router's password and access to something that a hacker can't just guess or look up.
Your average 8-year-old could probably do that.
Right.
Yeah, that's it's not terribly difficult. Most of the time, your router instructions come with how to
how
do
to
that.
Change your...
Or you can look it up online.
Right. Yeah. We have a Linksys router, and those are very common things. Well, right now what we're using is our AT&T UVerse, which also provides our telephone service. And they're very handy with instructions on how to do resets. And you want to do this, of course, before the thing breaks.
No, for sure.
And
do write it down somewhere because you may need it again, and it's not
right.
always easy to remember.
Right. Just print it out, have it taped to the back of the router on how everybody should know how to do a basic reset on their home router.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You're listening to Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob. She's Brenda. This is tech news you can use that continues after this. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Hello, this is Lance Beck, President of North State Security. As we celebrate our 50th year of serving the Northern California region, North State Security would like to give something back to our community. During the year 2018, our 50th, in the sorrowful event your family were to lose a loved one, North State Security offers to provide a state-licensed uniformed security officer at no cost to protect your residents during the celebration of life or funeral to offer further peace of mind. Knowing thieves prey upon homes left vulnerable during these mournful times, allow us the honor to help you grieve with one less detail to be concerned about. Call us, North State Security, at 243-0295. While utilizing the service of North State Security, we handle a myriad of different responsibilities from nightly patrol service. We do special responses where you call us and we can respond to your immediate need. We can be there in an average of 10 minutes. Once again, that's North State Security at 243-0295.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
This is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, Advanced Automotive.
Back for one more segment of Boomer Tech Radio. Bob and Brenda, Tech News, you can use BoomerTechRadio at gmail.com. The address to check out. Or Bob at KCNR1460.com. That works too. Oh boy, for those of you who have to have the latest and greatest, the Galaxy S9 is here. It is the launch day, lots of great deals. Fair amount of money, the S9 and the S9 Plus. Actually, the S9 Plus is very close to an iPhone X in terms of its price. Pretty, the better part of $1,000. But all four major carriers in the U.S. are running promotional offers on the Galaxy S9. Now, you can get an unlocked S9 by paying full boat retail, but most of us don't want to do that. We're going to go ahead and get locked into a contract with somebody so that we get a somewhat better deal. And you don't get quite as sweet of deals as you were just a few years ago. But Verizon, if you want to buy the Galaxy S9 or S9 Plus on their payment program, and this is how we got our Note 8s, is that we bought one and you get one, quote, free.
Right. Well,
it's
not free.
Free means you're paying the sales tax, which in the case of a $1,000 handset is not a sneeze.
It's pretty pricey if your sales tax is anything. Even so, that's, 7-8% of $1,000 is not a small sum. It's not huge, but it's not small either. So it's sort of a BOGO of sorts, but it can be a good deal, and it is cost-effective typically to get into this. The thing that you have to be careful of, though, is if your current device is still under contract, you'd have to pay that off and then purchase that. And that's actually what we ended up doing, which normally I wouldn't go for. But when you did the math, it made sense.
Yeah, the Note 8s were a smoking deal.
Yeah, it ended up being a pretty good deal. And our Note 8s are probably going to last us for a long time. I don't think we'll even look at the S9s because, first of all, I would pick a Note again, surprisingly. I don't even use all of its features per se, but there's a few that are unique. Your little scratch pad and that sort of notepad, I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very handy at times. And I forget it's there half the time. Nothing like
pen. I haven't managed to lose my stylus yet.
Yeah. Well, there's you get extra tips for your stylus, mm-hmm. but I'm sure you can buy those styli because people do lose them, or mm-hmm. they sit on them, or they break, or the dog chews it up, or something like that. At any rate, something to be aware of, you shop very carefully for what it is that you're doing because there's usually a cap on the amount of money that you can get back, and they'll use phraseology like get up to such and so such like and that sort of thing. So your credit back on your phone, according to this article with Verizon, basically tops out at $800. Mm-hmm. So it could be interesting. And ATT may be a better deal money-wise, but you also have to consider the quality of service that you get. Perhaps ATT works well in your area and Verizon doesn't, or vice versa. And so, you know, sometimes you're kind of stuck with who you have to go through. So you just have to play that by ear.
Interesting story, by the way, as a sidebar, that AT&T has slipped to third place across the board in terms of 4G reliability, speed
mm-hmm.
and 4G coverage.
Mm-hmm.
This side of the country, Verizon has it locked down. On the East Coast, T-Mobile leads.
Interesting.
And in the Midwest, it's more of a toss-up. In the Pacific Northwest, Verizon leads both categories. And nowhere in the four quadrants of the country is Verizon even they're a distant third in all four areas.
ATT.
I mean, yeah, ATT is a distant third in all four areas.
Interesting, because we skipped the ATT ship some years ago and have never looked back.
Yeah.
And the thing, too, is that you can take your number from one provider to another.
Which we did.
Yes. So it's not like if you change providers that you have to change phone numbers. So it's going to be interesting.
How is ATT going to fight back?
Yeah. Well, you know, IBM, people thought IBM was too big to ever die, right?
Yeah.
And they are
well, at least in the home computing.
Well, yeah, but they are a shadow of their former selves in that capacity. In the large frame computers, they certainly still survive very, very well. But you're right. They aren't the number one
right
around the world anymore anyway. So these things change and evolve.
Yeah.
And in some ways, it's a little bit annoying as a consumer because how do you stay on top of this stuff? Mm-hmm. I know folks that just want to buy a phone and use it for the next 15 years. And I have a coworker that has an iPhone 4S, I believe it is. And it's a 3G phone, little screen. And he went for 2 days without getting text messages for some reason. And all of a sudden, it connected back to the network, and he got a bazillion text messages from people. The thing is, I asked him if he'd rebooted his phone, and he said, yeah, several times. And so that was the first thing I thought of, because I've had trouble with my iPhone that way, and seldom have I had trouble with my Samsung that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe it's and they're both on the same network.
Mm.
So that's one thing with iPhone. It's like, okay, that's happened before. The boss came and said, how come you didn't respond to my message? I said, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And there were two of us on the floor that happened to. I said, oh, I know what happened. Let me try this. I rebooted my phone. There it was.
Mm.
There had been an update or something.
Yeah.
And that kept things from coming through.
If you are a Sprint user, poor you, in this part of the country. Anyway.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it works in some areas.
There's parts of the South, Sprint is big in the South. And
probably
the
urban centers elsewhere.
But
Metro PCS is also, I think, largely a major urban center provider that works.
That's worth the name.
If you don't go outside of certain areas. But T-Mobile, that's really interesting.
Yeah. They have gained a lot. I mean, everybody laughed at the big pink, you know.
Yeah,
that they were not going to be a contender, and they have, in fact, their 4G rollout has been quite
very successful. Yes.
ATT tried to hold on to their existing infrastructure for too long, I think.
So who knows? Maybe they'll start out being the first to really put in a significant amount of 5G, and then they'll rise back to the top. Yeah. It's coming, but if you have a 4G device, you'll be forced to upgrade.
Yeah.
Eventually. So, yes, this is what my friend with the iPhone 4S was saying. Is like I said, well, maybe you don't have 3G connectivity anymore where you are. I said,
yeah,
they do this. I mean, if my mom had her choice, her mobile phone would be...
Stolen a bag.
Yes. It would be a bag phone, which, of course, those analog systems are dead, I think, everywhere now.
Yeah, they're completely...
They're all digital everywhere, but... So I said, dude, you need to get a new phone.
Yeah.
Maybe. And he says, yeah. He says, I wish there was a place to get older phones cheap. You know, so you can, he's willing to put up with a more obsolete model.
Maybe he wants to look at a Samsung J2 or one of the entry-level smartphones that is probably at least as capable as his iPhone.
Yeah. Which, of course, is a smartphone, but...
Yeah.
But,
as that particular iPhone.
Well,
unless
he's
really locked into the Apple ecosystem.
Well, I think that's another thing that keeps people from looking at another system is that, well, I know how to use this one. Trust me, making the switch is not that difficult because they're very, very similar. It's sort of like those international symbols that you see in buildings or airports or whatever. The most common one we see is the little female or male on the restroom doors.
And
things like that. So stop signs, well, they're different in Europe than they are here. But there's all kinds of international symbols, but like a power switch for an electronic device.
1-0.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you're looking at. If you see that symbol, you know that's the power switch. So so there's a lot of commonality between the iPhone and the Samsung system or Motorola,
Android,
or LG, or whatever. But, Android operating system and the iOS operating system.
Speaking of...
don't be afraid to change.
Speaking of Android, now the Galaxy S9 is launching with the Oreo version, Android...
latest.
Android version O, or codenamed Oreo.
The latest, newest operating system.
Older handsets, of course, are still using Nougat, which is version N. And, in fact, it was just announced that Verizon's update. And the reason why it's taking so long, the operating system's been out for almost a year. And the reason it's taking so long is that, first of all, the raw Android operating system is released, and Apple does this completely different. But in the Android world, Android releases their version. Then it goes to the handset manufacturer, who adds on a couple of things, including, in our case, the vastly annoying Samsung account, which if we have a minute, we'll talk about that.
Because
we figured out how to get rid of that. The phone is trying to get you to log in because they want to harvest your information.
Right. It's like, go away.
But another step in the process is then it goes to the carrier, and they put stuff into the operating system.
You
your Verizon account and your Verizon, you know, and all this harvesting, tying up the poor phone. Okay, let's step back to the Samsung account. We were getting, both of us, on our Note 8s, these annoying
was consistent.
Sign in to your Samsung account. I don't have a Samsung account. I don't want a Samsung account. I've got a Google account. I've got this. I don't need a Samsung account. And yet, every time you turn the phone off and turn it back on, here's the nag to sign up for the Samsung account.
I think, actually, we do have Samsung accounts because that's how we got our freebie stuff when we got our phones. But
I don't want the notification.
Right, exactly. That's the whole thing. Well, if I want to use that account, I'll start that. I don't want a notification.
If you just go into your notifications panel by pulling down from the top, you put your finger on your screen, pull down, that opens up the, it's like opening a drawer, and then you tap the little gear icon. It's really, really small, but it looks like a little star with a lot of points on it. It's a little gear. That's normally where you go in to fiddle with your settings. Well, you don't see it there. What you have to do is hold your finger on the notification when it comes in, and it will open up a dialogue that eventually you'll be able to get to turn off notifications
for just that particular,
application.
Right.
And you will never see it again.
It's been so nice not to have that pop up all the time. You get rid of it, and it comes right back. It's like, you know, very persistent.
It was like whack-a-mole.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Back to getting an S9, Galaxy S9 or S9 Plus, all of the major carriers, Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T, you know, Sprint, those are probably the big ones, maybe MetroPCS. I doubt they have a deal, but they may. Check and see whatever your carrier has if you're interested in getting one of these. And
if you've got a 7 or, God forbid, a 6,
well,
I want to look at this.
A 6 isn't bad. It's just older, and it may be like some of the iDevices that it's not going to accept the new upgrade to the new operating system at some point. So you just have to take a look at what kind of deals they have, promo deals. So remember that you used to be able to go in and you got the phone for free if you signed a 2-year contract. So this is a variation on that theme. This is the latest sale point type of thing that they have, is to get you into the newest, latest, greatest phone. They will offer you these things. You are definitely paying more for your phone and that maybe than we did in the past, but these are expensive devices, but it's also a way for you to be able to upgrade before your 2-year ownership contract is up. I think we're coming up this year on, we would have had our S7s paid for sometime. Well, I don't know. Anyway, we're not even a year into our new ones, but Note 8 is going to last me a long time until I can't use it, I think, because the capabilities, this is phenomenal.
Yeah, quite the little computer.
Yeah, it is quite the little computer. But, the 9 might be worth looking at. Like Bob says, if you have a significantly older version, bite the bullet. Go ahead, get this thing if you need that much phone. And there are lots of other phones out there that may work for you that are much cheaper and are sort of a base model smartphone that will work perfectly fine. We got my brother one of those, and he uses it for navigation when he's traveling and things like that, and it works very well for him. He can take pictures and send text messages, and that's about all he needs to do on there. He's not using his phone as his life or playing games on it or any of that kind of stuff. That's not how he uses his device, and so he doesn't need a big, powerful iPhone or Samsung or Motorola or any of those that are out there.
Cool. Remember last week we talked about that town in Washington on the Columbia River that has become a hub of cryptocurrency mining? Wenatchee?
No. Wenatchee's inland.
Oh.
It's not on the river.
I'm trying to think
of what it was. It was one I had not heard of.
Yeah.
It has to be a pretty small
town. It's located close to a series of hydro dams, so the electricity there is dirt cheap. The towns are former logging towns and port towns and things like that, and had a lot of empty buildings. So the cryptocurrency miners moved in because cryptocurrency eats massive amounts of electricity, because you have very powerful computers
working around the clock.
To try to solve the equations and be yielded a Bitcoin. And the more people who are going at it, the more competition there is and the more work that the computers have to put out to gain a single Bitcoin. Modern-day prospectors have popped up in New York now, in the town of Plattsburgh. It's a small town with cheap electricity due to its being close to a hydroelectric dam. Mining operations moved into the city to take advantage of their what were cheap rates, but there was so much demand for the electricity as these cryptocurrency miners came in that it drove the price of the electricity up, much to the irritation of the local residents.
Yeah, that would be a bit annoying.
So the town council has implemented an 18-month moratorium on any new cryptocurrency mining operations. Now, that's not saying that this is like the way they were locating pot grows was, of course, looking for a huge spike in electricity usage. This is going to be the same thing. Suddenly a warehouse is sucking down megawatts of power where they were just using a couple of kilowatts.
You're absolutely right. Actually, I went back and looked on our Boomer Tech Radio Flipboard page, and it was East Wenatchee, same difference as Wenatchee. So I don't think of Wenatchee as being on the river.
But they were getting really cheap power from hydro dams on the Columbia.
Yes, throughout the Pacific Northwest, power is relatively cheap because of the hydro dams that were there. And that is why Boeing is where it is in the Puget Sound area. They were able to get in aluminum ore, and that takes a lot of electricity to refine aluminum. And so the cheap power in the Pacific Northwest was a good source for aluminum. Mm. And what does Boeing do? Build airplanes, which have a lot of aluminum in it. Mm. So that's kind of that symbiotic relationship. At least that's how I understand, you know, industrial history within the Pacific Northwest. And, of course, those hydro dams are still in place. There's people that have advocated taking them out on the Columbia, which would be a really bad idea because there's that would limit flood control as well as the cheap power throughout the region. It would be very economically devastating to the area to pull those dams out. But at the same time, obviously, there's been a boon here to for some industries to be able to take advantage of that cheap power aside from the aircraft industry.
In the case of Plattsburgh, New York, residents there were paying just 4.5 cents a kilowatt hour. It's pretty darn cheap. That's the average is like 8 cents or something.
Really,
if not more.
Cheap, yeah.
I think we pay up to 16 from PG&E.
It depends on when you use it.
Yeah. Industrial enterprises in the city, businesses, were paying 2 cents a kilowatt hour. Now, some people, because of the increased demand on the system, residents saw their electric bills jump by $100 a month.
Oh, that would hurt.
During the next 18 months, the city will work with both residents and mining operations to solve the problem. And I'm willing to bet that in 18 months, cryptocurrency is likely to be a moot point because either it will be, either the whole thing is going to collapse like the tulip boom, or there will be some other way of obtaining cryptocurrency. But this is right now, it's a gold rush. I'm willing to bet that if cryptocurrency falters governments start really stepping in and stomping on these operations, you're going to be able to go buy a graphics card for about $10 because there's going to be so many of them on the market.
Well, that could be. There'll be a bunch of them on eBay or Craigslist, you know, for whatever.
Right now you can't get an NVIDIA 1080 graphics card pretty much at any price.
It's interesting. It's sort of an exploitation of a resource when there's no limitation on its, you know, use or abuse or what have you.
Now, the IRS, of course, very interested in Bitcoin operations.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes on cryptocurrency can be pretty simple or can be terrifyingly complicated and really, really bad. A story that showed up on Reddit and being reported in last year told about an investor who turned $7,200 into $120,000.
Wow.
So far, so good. Well, they converted from Bitcoin to altcoin, which is another cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because of market fluctuations, that $120,000 of value dropped to around $30,000. Eh, bad investment. But here's the thing. The IRS taxed the conversion from Bitcoin over to altcoin, and the person owes $50,000 in taxes on money that didn't even really exist.
Yeah, that's just a, you know.
The IRS considers cryptocurrency to be property, not legal tender.
Which the way cryptocurrency is designed, it is property.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has a unique owner.
Mm-hmm. So it operates under some of the same legal restrictions as real estate. Therefore, if you take a you are taxed on a transaction, and with cryptocurrencies going from the almost 20,000 down below 10,000 and dropping fast,
a lot of these people are going to find themselves with a very unpleasant tax bill.
Yes, but because of the drop in value, then is that a loss that they can take on their taxes as well? So if you go from $120,000 down to $30,000, is that considered a loss? So there's gambling losses and this loss and that loss that you can claim. Well, so I wonder where this falls in that category. Yeah, if that
the
falls
laws
in that category.
Are still very much in flux. And if
not
you are
quite keeping up
with
if you're
a cryptocurrency miner, stay up on the latest trends because this stuff can turn around and just bite you big time.
Always something interesting.
Yeah, always something interesting. By the way, if you've got an interesting story that you want to bring to our attention, write to Bob at KCNR1460.com or Boomer Tech Radio. That's Boomer Tech Radio, all one word, at gmail.com. Love to hear from you and get your take on how the show is going, topics you would like us to cover, or in the case of the lady, we can't fix her computer, but we told hopefully use her story. For other people and their computers. It's Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other. Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have